A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 4th March 2025, Tuesday class. So we are resuming our Dhamma sharing after the Chinese New Year. Also, the break is more this time because I have a trip to Europe and we just came back a few days back. So welcome, okay, Metta. Let us now compose our mind, develop the Sadha Virya. Then we will gather in front for physical puja. Okay. Namo Bhen Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa.Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Pho. Namo A Mi Tho Pho. Namo A Mi Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa.那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。阿拉汉萨玛萨姆布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦提米。Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhassaBuddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmiTatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pāṇātipātā Vīramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmiAdinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiSuramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Ganna Sarappa Dipena Dipena Tamadangsina Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami TamonudangGanda sambara yutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda gunupetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi bedang kesumena nena punena metena ce hotu mokang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adina setu no bante paniyang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now we shall chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this is which we are offering to the Blessed One, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to obtain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of this merit, spawn of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Padang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Relax body and mind and maintain some form of attentiveness. Just silent everything and be attentive. Listen attentively, then observe attentively, then key to relaxation, a key to meditation is to relax body and mind. If you can relax your body and mind, then you will do well. So we'll have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We'll off the light so that you all can develop the meditative training. The purpose of this half an hour is to settle you down and develop the meditative mind. So like the word awareness-based meditation means this meditation is to train us to develop the inner awareness. Without the inner awareness, you are not mindful. You are not aware. You don't have sati. To have sati is to not have any thought. It's just relax, maintain awareness inside. You can just maintain awareness inside without thought. That is a very good training. But most people, because they are not trained, they don't have the spiritual faculty developed. So instead of the five spiritual faculty that enable to develop the meditative understanding or the spiritual understanding of the teaching, they have the opposite five mental hindrance. And the Buddha called them mental hindrance, where these are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why most people cannot meditate. They cannot have a mind that is peaceful, calm, relaxed, and just aware within because of mental hindrance. And this mental hindrance arises to our daily life when we cannot maintain daily mindfulness in the midst of life. So when you are not able to be mindful or aware in the midst of life, then you tend to be heedless. You think a lot. Your mind is like very wild. It runs everywhere. So the heedless, according to the Buddha, are as if dead. Means spiritually, you don't stand a chance. That's why you need to train your mind to develop heedfulness. And to be heedful is to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. There are two parts to it. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So how do we develop that? So this awareness-based meditation can let you develop them. To be ever mindful, first, we must train our mind to be mindful, to be aware, without thought. Then stabilize it. Then you will become ever mindful. Means throughout the day, the mind is just alert, aware, without thought. That one needs training. If you don't have the understanding and the proper training on awareness-based meditation, you cannot do it. So this is pretty obvious. That's why our awareness-based meditation is to enable us to counter the mental hindrance. First, by developing the five spiritual faculty, if you have done that, then you can easily develop awareness within. You can silence your mind there and then, straight away. Sometimes within seconds. But some people need to settle down within a minute or two. But if you are completely new, you find it very difficult. That's why a lot of people who don't have this understanding, they will follow what people instruct them. They will give you methods and techniques or object of meditation to hold on to. Yeah, the mind wanders off very fast, think a lot. So in order to center the mind and prevent it from wandering off or lost in thought, they give you an object of meditation and a series of instructions to note. Not knowing that the noting is always by the thought. When you note using the thought, you verbalize and you cannot be aware. Their verbalizing cannot give rise to real awareness. So our awareness-based meditation, if you have gone through the teaching that I have shared, especially our last two books, Ultimate Realization and Path to Nibbana, is shared inside there very clearly. So always remember there are four important support for us to develop awareness-based meditation. The first support is knowing how to relax body and mind. Then the second support is obvious, maintain awareness, because we are developing awareness-based meditation. To be aware is to be heedful. And to be heedful, we need to be ever mindful. So training the mind to be aware, to be mindful, is the first task that we need to do. Then after that, stabilizing it to make it ever mindful. Yeah. Then after that, the free mind will be in the state of awareness without thought on its own. And that is the stability that we need. Then everything we do from there, the awareness is there. You can be aware of all the kaya activity, the movement, all your bodily kaya activity, the four posture, turning, bending, stretching, blinking of the eye, or whatever. Even your breathing. You can even stay at your abdomen to listen to your rising and falling of the abdomen that follow the breath. Then you can even stay at the heart to be mindful of your heartbeat or vibration or whatever pulse of life that you can detect. So this is all mindfulness training. When your mind is silent, it will be aware on its own. That's our ability to relax and maintain awareness without thought. You're already aware. You don't have to use the thought to note or try to be aware. No need. Okay, now I repeat. Relax, body and mind. Completely relax. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. The trying to know is always by the thought. The doing also by the thought. Yeah, the doing is the noting. And who is the meditator? The thought try to meditate. In fact, when thought is active, you are not in sati, you are lost in thought. You start to verbalize. So the frequent chattering of the mind and the verbalization come from the thought itself that develop these habits. Yeah. So in order to reverse all this, now you can try out the four support. So the first support is just relax. Feel yourself physically and mentally completely relaxed without problem. Stress-free. At ease. Relax. And when you are relaxed without thought, it's very easy to maintain awareness. Because whatever that comes to your senses, you just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Don't let it continue to perceive and create thinking or thought process. Because that is the old way, which is the habitual thinking. Because as a human being, we have two minds. One is the thinking mind, the mundane mind, that arises from that pure awareness within. The pure awareness within, before the arising of thought, is your true mind. Yeah. When you are completely silent without thought, you will realize your true mind. Then from there, all the creation starts. The thought process, the thinking, the perception, the sensation, the feeling, the sankhara activity, and the consciousness that arises through your senses, your sense basis. These are the mental activity, sankhara activity, thought process. That's why it translates into verbalization, chattering, and frequent sankhara, activity and movement. When your mind is actively lost in thought, creating sankhara activity, you cannot be mindful. Well, man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are completely silent without thought, so that you can be aware of what is going on within the moment, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, what you have perceived, what you have recalled through memories. So all this is the movement of the thought, the mundane thinking, the mundane mind that has surfaced from that nature within, the pure awareness nature. That's the reason why the Buddha said you can observe using your silent mind, the pure awareness, then you will see the mundane mind is the one that started everything. That's why he used the word under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. That is the meaning. And when you understand that, you understand how karma comes to be, how the mundane mind triggers off all this. Yeah. So today, because it's the first session, I will try to explain more. Then later we can have our 30 minutes of silent inner awareness meditation. Okay, now that you have understood how to relax, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, then maintain awareness. Whatever arises within the six sense dodges, aware, silent. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Mean no more thinking, no more proliferation of thought, no more preoccupied with what that sense data is. Don't try to know, that's how I say. And don't try to verbalize or do anything. Just silent. So relax, maintain awareness. Then the third support is stabilize the awareness. Means continue to be aware, 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 until that nature within is in a state of complete relaxed inner awareness without thought. And yet, it doesn't move. And that is the real samadhi. The samadhi is the collected mind that is unwavering, not thinking, not chattering, not trying to know or perceive or do anything. It's just that nature, the way. Then the fourth support. Initially, for most people who are new, you don't have to do. The fourth support is to trust the inner nature, our pure awareness nature, to develop the meditative movement or activity on its own. The awareness will move itself. It will know where to detect and where to stay, and how it will detect finally the gateway to our nature. That one, no need to do yet. Maybe later. Unless you have trained yourself, you are skillful, then you can straight away go into trust. To do trust is very easy. You just trust your nature. Means no more thought processing. You already have the ability to relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. After you can stabilize the awareness, you just stay at your heart area. Then it will detect itself. Then whatever movement for there, from there, let it move by itself. That is trust. Trusting our pure awareness nature to develop the movement. And then it will detect whatever that is moving, like your heartbeat, vibration, or any activity within your heart area. Our gateway is within our heart area. When you are completely relaxed and maintain awareness, then it will slow down and become very quiet and very still. Then it will detect, it become very sensitive. That's how it can detect the gateway. Then the moment it detects, all your yin yang energy will melt in, and a lot of beautiful things will happen. You have to go through to understand. But to develop the sainthood way, to become an enlightened being, you don't need the fourth support. In fact, the first three is good enough. The fourth support are for those who want to go further, following the Bodhisattva way, to develop the deeper understanding of what the awareness nature is, so that we can activate the Bodhi mind. We can take the Bodhisattva vow to go the further way. And this four basic vow of the Bodhisattva is the beginning of the supreme vehicle journey beyond the sainthood way. For those who have the condition affinity, you can try. At the retreat, which is next month, we will guide you along. And those who want to renew their Bodhisattva vow or take their Bodhisattva vow if it is the first time, you can. It's on the fourth day, I think, if I'm not wrong. So it's all in the program. You can read through. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Remember the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Relax. Maintain awareness. Then stabilize it. Whatever arises, aware. Finish. Until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Okay. Now I will set the alarm. Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas in this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati. Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo. Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can just relax body and mind, then maintain awareness, and we will continue from where we stop. We're supposed to continue on this book, the wonderful Dhamma flower. Lotus Flower Sutta, which is a Mahayana Sutta. They call it the Lotus Sutta. But there was a request from Sister Po Cheng, I think. She reminded me that I supposed to share this topic, which is very good. She texted me this morning. He said, good afternoon. Oh, afternoon. He said, good afternoon, Bertil. A reminder of suggested topic to share. So the suggested Dhamma sharing was, I think, by one of the brother who listened to one of my YouTube video. I think the suggestion was very good. He said, the suggested Dhamma talk should be on solely developing the liberation by the sainthood way is a very good topic. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then he said, do remind me. I told them that time, I think the Chinese New Year sharing. I said, do remind me to share this topic after the Chinese New Year break. So what I will do is we will skip the Lotus Sutta. We will go into this topic. Liberation by the sainthood way. So they want me to explain this in a clearer manner. That's why he used the word solely. Means this Dhamma talk should be on solely explaining how liberation via the sainthood way can be done. So as you all know, our Theravada tradition, we have the teaching to guide us. So what normally people explain to you is to be enlightened, you need to understand that there are 10 fetters that bind the living being to our existential world. So unless you can break free from these 10 fetters, you cannot develop enlightenment or liberation from birth and death. So as we all know, the sainthood way, there are 4 stages of sainthood enlightenment. And each and every of these, you have the path and friction. So most of us, I think, are familiar with the sainthood way. I will just write them down. So when you cultivate the sainthood way, you will go through these 4 stages. So first stage of sainthood, this one they call it the Sotapanna. So Sotapanna, they have path and friction. So initially when you cultivate, you will realize the path. They call it the Marga. Then when you realize the friction, means you stabilize your understanding already, this one become the friction. In Pali, it's called pala. Then second stage of sainthood. This one, you will realize Sakadagamiship, or the second stage of sainthood. So this one also have its path and friction. Then the third stage of sainthood is Anagami. Also, you have path and friction. Then the fourth stage of sainthood, this one is Arahantaship or Arahantship. So this one also, you have your path and friction. Then in the teaching, it is stated very clearly, to realize the first stage of sainthood, you must break the first three fetters. So here there are the 10 fetters that binds the living being to samsara. Yeah? So this one, the first three is sakkayadity or self-delusion, then followed by rites and rituals, attachment to rites and rituals. Number three is faith in Triple Gem. So in the teaching, it just mentioned that you have to break these three fetters, but it is seldom explained how you can do it and how the transition from a puttajana to become an enlightened being like Sotapan happens. How it happens and what are the real cultivation involved. So we need to really have the understanding, otherwise you cannot cultivate to sever these fetters that bind living being to samsara. Then how it happens is, for the sainthood way, like I say, we only need the first three support. So what happened is, as we all know, Nibbana can be realized via what they call cessation of form and mind. You have to develop the meditative wisdom and understanding until your mind realizes itself and ceases. Not only your mundane mind ceases. When your mundane mind ceases, you normally don't have thought process. That's why there is no thinking, no mundane mind, no perception, no sankara activity, no sensation, no feeling. But the complete cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is different. When there is no thought, it doesn't mean everything ceases. When you realize the true mind, the silent mind, or you have a glimpse of that cessation, you suddenly feel that the whole thinking mind like disappear. Then what happened? For most meditators, it's very difficult to even perceive that. But if you really cultivate awareness-based meditation, sati-based, you can realize that silence. That silence, that shift, or we call the shift of consciousness from the chattering mind, the thinking mind, the mundane activity. Suddenly, that whole activity of the mundane thinking or thought process ceases. It's just like in the middle of the night, when the traffic, no more noise. Everything is very quiet and very still. Then you can perceive the stillness of nature. Yeah. But this one is at the mind level. Then you realize when everything ceases, there is just the essence of mind within. And what is this essence of mind? It's our pure awareness nature. Yeah. That one is your true mind, your silent mind. And that one is the one that is responsible for all the arising of thought, the creation of thought. That's why as a human being, we have to develop the understanding of who are you, what are you. And this is very important. That's why the Buddha gave us in the teaching, and he explained it very clearly, but people seldom have the understanding of what this teaching is. They only talk about the five aggregates of form and mind. Basically, the five aggregates of form and mind is a very good teaching. It's very profound. And it's not easy to comprehend. So what the Buddha actually taught is he simplified a lot of things and he zeroed into the essence. So basically, as a human being, for our case, if it's not a human being, you can be any living being. So living being can be animals, or any one of the 31 plane of existence. You can be devas, or even asuras, or even petas, or whatever. Even the animal rhyme, the fish rhyme, and all those things. So this is the aspect of the teaching that is seldom taught. So now I ask you, as a human being for our case, who are you? What are you? Is this so-called human being really you? Is this what you have been carrying with you since birth until now? Where the moment you are born, they give you a name, a birth cert, identify you until what you are now, and all of life that you have gone through. So is this really you? If this is not you, then who are you? What are you? So basically, we have to start from what J. Krishnamurti teaches as self-knowledge. That's why he emphasizes a lot on self-knowledge. Knowing clearly who are you, what are you, is the beginning of search or inquiry into the secret of life, into truth. When you don't know who are you, what are you, then I ask you a very simple question. Who is living your life? Who is living your life? Well, you don't know who are you, what are you. So who is living your life? Then what is life? So we start from basic. Assume we don't know anything. Okay? You cannot deny that you have a physical body in there. True or not? Then you have a consciousness trapped inside in there. This one is a very easy to comprehend and clear fact, isn't it? We have a physical body with the senses. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. That's why the Buddha say very easy. The consciousness is your mind, your thought process, your thinking. But beyond the thought process, before the arising of thought, there is a nature within that non-cultivator of the way never get to understand what that thing is. That's why that aspect is our pure awareness nature. For the Buddha, he called it the Buddha nature. Each and every one of us have a pure awareness nature within. And that nature is before the thought, before the thinking. And that is the pure awareness. And that one is very powerful. That one needs to be realized. And when you realize that, then you realize you have two minds. A true mind and a thinking mind. And what is a thinking mind? Thinking mind is condition arising, causal phenomena that arise from that nature. Without that nature, there is no thought process, no mundane mind, no thinking mind. And without the mundane mind and the thinking mind, there is no karmic process. The law of karma cannot function. Well, the law of karma is based on mental intention, moral causation. The Buddha called it cittena. That's why the Buddha said, it's cittena that I call karma. So that one is very important. then coming back to the understanding of Sakkaya Ditthi is the Buddha wants you to understand that this one, the so-called human being, which is basically the form and mind, five aggregate of form and mind. He said this one is just a human being. This five aggregate of form and mind is just a human being. It's not you. But this one is not a permanent, unchanging entity. This one is a phenomenon dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, or what he teach in the teaching as dependent origination. Dependent on causes and conditions, it manifests. That's why, as a human being, we are karmically conditioned into this existential world through our karmic nature, the law of karma. That's why the Buddha in his teaching, the fifth daily contemplation, he said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this one is subject to karma, even though not you, not a permanent and changing entity. So to break free from Sakkaya Ditthi is to meditate to realize this, not through knowledge or concept. That knowledge and concept cannot free you. Do you know, as a human being, we have this thought which is very egoic. You know what is egoic or not? The ego, very, very powerful inside. Can you deny that this is not you? Don't use the Buddhist teaching to console or justify. Tell yourself sincerely, can you really come to the understanding that this is not you? Yeah? Can I? Since birth until now, everything you do is for yourself, true or not? For me or not for me? No benefit? No advantage or whatever, usually human being would do. And that's not. But everything is born of the egoic mind that is selfish. And that's not. If it's not beneficial, if it's not favorable, he doesn't want to do. And this security is very difficult to break. Self-delusion. That's why when people scold you, you immediately react. Yeah, it's like hurting you. And this ego, easier said than done. Non-self la, not me la, don't attach la, don't cling la. All these are theory words. When it comes to real life, when you encounter a situation, the realities of birth and death, or the reality of life, under the first noble truth, eight reality. So when you confront life, you have to face the eight realities of life and existence. And this eight reality, no matter who you are, you cannot escape. If you don't have the Dhamma understanding, the teaching, you will suffer. That's why he say, you will cling on to this Sakkaya Ditthi or self-delusion. The egoic mind will create the personality, which is the ego, and from there you develop the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Why? Because when you think you exist, you want to own things, true or not? You want to possess things. And that is what? That is basically greed, isn't it? Possessiveness, isn't it? Selfishness, isn't it? That's why the ego creates the evil roots of greed, which is all your covetousness, your craving, your lust, your desire. All this is the evil root of greed, which is lobha. Then when things don't go your way, when you don't like what happened, you get angry, emotional. You develop envy, jealousy, hatred. You become violent. And this is the evil root of hatred. Understand? Not? Then when things that you cannot understand, or when you project your thought, you develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the insecurity. Then when you are hurt, the sorrow, the lamentation, that is born of delusion, or what we call moha. Moha is a very severe delusion. That's why greed, hatred, and delusion. When you are deluded, you have fear. When you have greed and hatred, the two aspects of craving, positive and negative, very strong. Yeah. Then all the mind state that leads to suffering, like your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, are all your delusion. From psychiatry, it manifests. Where you think this form of mind is you. That's why if you think this form of mind is you, you will think the body is you. Then what happened to you? Yeah? You worry about it? Getting old? Getting sick and dying? Yeah. True or not? There is fear. Yeah. Everything triggered off through lack of security. That's why in life, you keep on looking for security. First, career security, or job security. Yeah? Then, you want to secure your home. You grill everything. Not only that, you put camera, you put motion detector, then you employ bodyguard and all those things. And that is the extent of human delusion that lack the proper Dharma understanding that lead them to do all these things. So, seeking security is what the thought want, where the thought cannot understand. They want to be safe, they want to be secure. Everything also, they try to plan and do. Not to say you cannot, you can. But you have to have the Dhamma understanding in order not to go to the extent that is wasting money, resources, and time. To me, it is more important to understand life and to live life rather than to fear life and keep on doing all those things to secure yourself and to make sure you have what they call food security, yeah? Financial security, career security, yeah? Then relationship security. There is no such thing. Relationship involves human being. No? Is it so easy for human being to agree? Husband and wife also a lot of things don't agree. Yeah? But we have to understand it's a relationship that we commit ourselves to. And we have to understand that this is something that should work for the good of the family unit, for the both. So you have to give and take. You have to support each other. We have to make use of whatever sincerity that we have to commit to that relationship. As long as you are sincere, then you don't worry. But the sincerity will guarantee no hanky-panky, understand, no? No selfishness, nothing. But you are sincere. When you are sincere, you can trust each other. Understand? You don't do things that hurt the other person. And that is the understanding of relationship. Not to say, no, you are not my wife. You cannot go out anymore. Huh? You cannot have boyfriend. You cannot have your whatever friend. Yeah. Then likewise, you want to control, own, and possess that person. And living being is no longer like before. Before, during the olden day, maybe ladies as wife, you normally do household work. Eh? You cannot go out. you are not the breadwinner and all those things. But nowadays, society is so different. Okay, that one finished. Yeah? So coming back to this one, this is what I want you to understand. That I will move further into the human being. Do you realize that as a human being, because we have a mind, the Buddha subdivide this mind into four more aggregates? What are the four aggregates? What can your mind do? You just ask. What can your mind do? Very easy, eh? Ah, yeah, try, Chan. Thinking is one of them, yes, Sankara. And what else? It can perceive things, isn't it? Yeah, very good. Two more. You can feel that hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. All the mind state, happy or unhappy, understand? Then what is the last one? The most important one. Never mind. Because most people try to commit to memory, yeah? Dharma knowledge. Then they try to retrieve it. You do it this way, it will not come out from here. Understand? When you have it from here, you just have to look at yourself, isn't it? We are a conscious being, isn't it? True or not? So if you are a conscious being, the four aggregates should be consciousness there. We are able to be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. That is the sixth sense. That's why the physical body has the senses. And these senses can give rise to the respective sixth type of sense or consciousness that can make us into a conscious being. That's how we know the world. Through seeing, sight and sound. I just came back from Switzerland. The beautiful sight and sound. Through hearing. Then smell. The good food, the good nature, everything. Taste. Then the nice weather. Of course, very cold. Then you also have the memory, the thought process and all those things. So all this is what we are capable of as a conscious being. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And this is what the wonders of life, the secret of life is. Without the senses, you cannot be conscious, you cannot live life, you cannot have life, you cannot know anything. All this become possible because of the senses. So, as a conscious being, that's why we are not dead. You can become unconscious or semi-conscious when you go to sleep. But when you wake up, you become a conscious being. So consciousness is very important. And how does seeing consciousness come to be? Why the Buddha say in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. Like the physics experiment. So this one, if you on the switch, this light bulb lights up in there. True or not? So the analogy is very beautiful. Do you need a God to create this phenomena? You don't need it. This nature's process. So the lighting up is you become conscious. Understand not? When you become conscious, it's like this light bulb lights up. Your mind lights up. That's why to see things, you need light. To hear things, you need vibration. To smell, to taste, you need the sense data. Tactile also same, you need the sense data. Hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant, or you can feel them. Then the thought need the brain, the memory. That's why thought is respond to memory. So when you understand all this, then the Buddha said, in the seeing, this is a nature's process. There is only this light bulb lighting up. Means in the seeing, there is only that seeing consciousness. Means that thing just surface. But because of Sakkaya Ditti, you associate and cling to that seeing. What do you say? I see. Understand? I see, therefore I am. That's how the ego manifests. The I, the me, the ego, the entity is so seen, so strong, so intense. That's why it's very difficult to root that out. And you think to be a sotapan is easy? You have to sever this sakarity, you know. And this is the awareness-based meditation that is required for you to see clearly that the form and mind, the five aggregate of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana are not you. Understand not? Why? Because like the Buddha said, they are dependent originating, condition arising. That's why we can start checking. Physical body, is it a permanent unchanging entity? No. Since birth, sperm and ovum unite, then the birth process takes place, then delivery, then you slowly grow up through food or whatever. All these are the causes and conditions for the human being to continue to grow, to sustain itself, like the plant. From the seed, if you have the proper sunshine, the nutrient, the soil condition, oh, then it grows into a small plant. Then from there, it grows into a bigger plant, a tree. Then it will go through old age, sickness and death. Understand not? It will reach a stage where it will not grow anymore. Then during harsh weather condition, it will decay and even drop their leaves and all those things. Then when conditions, summer or spring, then it will blossom again. Yeah. Then sometime because of whatever, yeah, condition no more there, not enough water, or what, you'll wither, you will die, like the human being. So seeing clearly that the physical body is impermanent, dependent, originating, your feeling also. Feeling arise and pass away, depending on condition. That's why it's impermanent. It keep on evolving. It keep on changing. Sometimes pleasant feeling. Then after pleasant feeling cease to be, then another type of feeling. Then sometimes neutral feeling. Then sometimes unpleasant feeling. That's why throughout the day, without mindfulness, without heedfulness, what the human being do? They react to sense experience, to what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they tactile feel and think. Your like and dislike. Pleasant, unpleasant, sense experience. What are those so-called reaction to sense experience? They are your mental hindrance, understand? Your like and dislike is what? Sensual desire and ill will, do you know that? Pleasant is positive craving. It's a desire, sensual desire. Unpleasant is your anger, aversion. That's why ill will. When you constantly arise through your daily life, sense experience, like and dislike, pleasant, means you are creating mental hindrance every moment, every instant, until it becomes habitual. Then what happens? What are mental hindrance? It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you cannot meditate. You every time oscillate between light and dislike, pleasant and pleasant. And this is mental hindrance. You don't develop sati. You don't develop sada, virya, the five opposite mental faculty or spiritual faculty. That's why without sati, without sada, faith, without the spiritual zeal and tenacity, after understanding how unique the Buddha's teaching is and who the Buddha is, you can never strive on to learn this teaching. But when you know how special a being the Buddha is and how wonderful the teaching is, you will go all out. Like what happened to me when I was young. The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, no turning back. All the way, I just developed the cultivation myself and the understanding myself. And it just happened. Since 1971, when I was form 5, I remember. Yeah. So all these are possible only if you develop the spiritual faculty. Then once you have sati or awareness, there is no thought. That's why the mind is tranquil, still. Then you realize the true mind. And that is the state where there is clarity, where no thought, no thinking, no duality, no like, no dislike. That's why the meditative mind is the tranquil, still mind without thought. That's why it's tranquility, stillness, pure awareness nature within. And that is the teaching, not the theory, sati, mindfulness, not here, not there. Nothing is the thought. Don't be gullible. So understanding this is very important, okay? So after you can break free from this, what will happen is, as the cultivator, he will come to see clearly that this physical body go the way of nature. It's impermanent. That's why the Buddha in the 5 daily contemplation, he said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. But these are realities that every living being that live long enough have to go through, understand or not? That's why you see this physical body of so-called Brother Teo, 71 plus already, okay? Does it look like when he was young as a youth? No longer, isn't it? But this is the process of aging, understand or not? Old age, then of course it comes with sickness, disease. But so far so good, very blessed. Never have serious disease or sickness. So old age, sickness or disease and death are reality that each and every living being who go through life have to confront. Can you confront them? You have to go into it. Well, this is the teaching. That's why this noble truth of dukkha, suffering, is to be understood. And why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Go into it. Understand it. So that when you go through the phases of life and when you confront them, suffering need not be like the Buddha said. Because there is already wisdom. But this is not me. If it's not me, then why should I worry about it getting old, getting sick and die? You understand? Because these are reality. Everybody is subject to the same reality. Why you want to complain? Those who cannot understand, complain. No amount of sorrow, lamentation and complaint can help you solve your problem. You have to understand it, then confront it. Then resolve it amicably, following the teaching, Noble Eightfold Path. Apply Noble Eightfold Path. All your eight realities, suffering will be gone. Okay? So this part, once you are able to have the realization that the physical body is impermanent, go the way of nature. Feeling come and go, you didn't die. True or not? So how can feeling be you? If it's you, pleasant feeling become unpleasant, you should die with it there. But how come you didn't die? That's why feeling is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, and it's not you, anatta, non-self. Similarly, perception arise and pass away. You didn't die. So how can perception be you? Your thought process, your mind state, your sankhara activity, they come and they go, and you didn't die. That's why they are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. And when you see this clearly, then you realize, if the physical body is not me, the feeling is not me, the perception is not me, the thought process, the mind state, mental states, everything come and go, not me. If the consciousness that manifests seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought come and go, and I didn't die, means they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then how can it be me? Understand now? Wake up. If it's not you, then why did they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That is the meditation that you have to do. When you do awareness meditation, awareness based, you see all this very clearly. Then you realize this one go the way of nature. When it's devoid of consciousness, they cremate you also, you got no feeling, understand now? Then who died? What died? That's why you don't meditate, you cannot understand. You have to meditate. When I mention meditate, means awareness-based meditation, understand? Not the normal thought-based meditation. Okay? So, when you realize that in your meditation, then what happens is that understanding will become very clear to you, you know, very stable. You know. Then you realize this five aggregate of form and mind, which is a so-called human being, is not real, not you. But this one is subject to karma, like I told you just now, understand? Now? But this one got mental intention. That's why the Buddha said, this one, human being, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by, and you are what you are because of your karma. So when you know that your life is so important because the embodiment of karma decides your life, that you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by, and you are what you are because of it. So you have to take care of karma, true or not? How to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. That is Dhammapada. What number? 183 is it? Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyodapadang etang buddhana sahasra. All Buddha teach the same. Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind to develop the wisdom so that you can be free from suffering. And that is what cultivation is all about. You follow the advice of the Buddha, you go into the cultivation straight away. Then you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Understand? Then why you worry about life? Why you go and panic here, panic there? You take care of karma, whatever may be, maybe. Like the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are the causes and conditions? Well, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned supported by our karma, we are what we are, we are our karma. So 99.999% is karmically driven. Understand? If you don't take care of karma, you believe feng shui and all those things, I wish you luck. Understand? Well, this is the one that decides your life. And you go and believe what people tell you. Oh, your feng shui no good. Your car color not right. You go and change your car. You go and do all this. I wish you luck. If you don't take care of karma, what you do, not much use, I can tell you. But don't get me wrong. Don't say feng shui is nonsense. No, it has its science. Yeah? Feng shui has its science, but it's limited to the extent it can help a person. If you have the Dhamma understanding, you don't have to worry about feng shui. Understand? You take care of karma, karma take care of your life, and everything will go your way. Yeah. All the belief, the Chinese tradition, you all have a lot of pantang and all those things. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you, I almost break every one of them. My mother say, get married, you go out of the house, cannot step on the moon, kwang and all those. I say, don't believe all these things. I said, then my mother saw, of all the children, I'm the best. You see? Everything go my way. That's why, don't be foolish. Don't develop fear. Oh, very pantang. Oh. This is auspicious day. Oh. You must wear red. Oh. You must not wear black. Forget about it. But don't purposely knowing this and go and try to be funny and make things go wrong. That one is no good. Okay? Sometimes you may know the Dhamma, you may know the truth, but you have to accord and flow. Society is like that, understand? People are like that. So you have to respect them for what they are. But personally, I say, if you have this understanding, no more sakadity, self-delusion, if you can wipe this off, your life become different. Then you know what to do. Take care of karma, karma take care of your life, then everything falls into place. So what happens is, after you cultivate and develop this wisdom, break sakadity, straight away the mind that realizes itself ceases. Initially, the sinhui, especially Sotapanna and the Sakadagami, you only have a glimpse of cessation. Just one moment of cessation. Complete cessation. Even the pure awareness also ceases. Your pure awareness nature, your true mind also ceases. Nothing inside that. Yeah. But you have to realize it. But once you realize, this Sakadity is straight away gone. Then whatever you do, you become so different. As a human being, this form and mind will no one know. No such thing. This is sakrality. A very clear one. That every moment of consciousness is so beautiful. Understand? That's why in the seeing, it's just a seeing consciousness. Just that consciousness. That's why you drink a cup of tea, like the Zen saying. Understand? That is Zazen. Why? Because when you drink, that pure consciousness that experience the whole of that tea, that movement, that awareness, is without thought. Understand not? Without thought means what? No duality, no like, no dislike, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Don't have the mundane content. This one is the supramundane mind, the pure awareness nature. That truly taste. And that taste from the pure awareness without thought is so beautiful, so different. That's why you have to experience it, to go through it. And all this is Dhamma cultivation and can be realized. That's why it's in the teaching. But not the theoretical one that is being taught. They just tell you about the 10 fetters, they ask you to break this, but they never tell you how to break this and what is this and how that cessation can happen. The moment you break this, the first one, sakadity or self-delusion, this one gone, then whatever people tell you, you die already, you take birth where already, you never believe them really. But this one that take rebirth is the rebirth process. They call it the karmic process. And the karmic process at the moment of death is in the teaching, but if you are awareness-based meditation, you will know. Your last thought moment that decide your rebirth consciousness, that one immediately dependent originating condition arising. That's why the last death consciousness, or they call go for holiday. In Pali, I think it's chuti, isn't it? Chuti chitta. He said you go for holiday. After that is the rebirth consciousness. That's why there is a break. But then the random of consciousness can still come out. Understand? But your rebirth consciousness is gone already. The rebirth has taken place already. Yeah. So this understanding, all you will know. Then people tell you, wow, God, right, and richer, you must believe what they tell you. You must pay so much, the package. You want a good one, higher grade one, pay more. Yeah. All this right and richer, our Chinese tradition last night a lot. In Hokkien, I think they call by different name. Yeah. Some in Cantonese, they call Namolo or also, but not all of them are bogus one. There are some that really recite for you and all those things. It's also doing some form of like blessing and transformer or sharing. That one is okay. But don't go and believe all those things, because all those things got no meaning on it. If you don't take care of karma, like the Buddha say, you can share merit, transfer merit on behalf of your deceased. You can do. That one is true. That's why in the Theravada Sutta, it's mentioned very clearly how you can do it. But you must do it with the Dhamma understanding. Understand or not? Go through all the rite and ritual. Then after that, your faith in the Triple Gem, unshakable one. You know one. The Triple Gem is the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Why is it the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha? Because it's actually the teaching. That's why when you take refuge in the Triple Gem, what does it mean? The Buddha symbolizes what? Fully enlightened one, isn't it? Not only enlightened, fully enlightened, perfectly enlightened. So he definitely has the teaching, isn't it? And what is the Dhamma, the second gem, where you take refuge? It's the teaching of the Buddha, isn't it? That one definitely has the Dhamma, isn't it? Then the third one, the Sangha, is what? The enlightened disciple of the Buddha, isn't it? They also have the teaching, isn't it? That's why you take refuge in the Triple Gem, you will receive the teaching. That's why this is most important. This is refuge safe. No other refuge. If you don't take refuge in this, you cannot find the teaching, you cannot free from samsara. You cannot go beyond birth and death. You cannot realize the enlightenment. So what happened is, I had to rush to already, almost 10 o'clock already. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, you're all right. Thank you. So this is the outcome. This is the outcome. Faith in the Triple Gem is unshakable. So Su Yi pointed out correctly. So this one is skeptical doubt, yes. So this one, when you don't have skeptical doubt, means you don't have any more doubt in the Triple Gem, means the faith in the Triple Gem. Then that fetters is gone. Means no more doubt about this teaching, this understanding. So these first three is most important. You have to break. Then when they come to second stage of sainthood, what happened is, here they didn't severe. They attenuate, reduce. Attenuate sensual desire and ill will. Means your greed and hatred, you reduce them. Understand? So when you reduce them, you will go through the path and friction to realize the second stage of sainthood. Then you realize after you have developed the wisdom to break this self delusion, you do think differently already. You will keep your precept already. You will not violate your five precepts already. Then you will not be greedy anymore. Your covetousness, your desire, all it's like you know inside, you know, no meaning one, all this. And it's not worthwhile to like take advantage of situation or people. You cannot do already. And you become so different, you know. Sometimes like on the street, certain thing that you see danger to people, you will go personally and collect it and throw away. Yeah. I saw a lot of these nails, well, I'm an engineer, construction site, then the broken glasses and all those things. I will go and remove that one. Yeah. Because somebody else may step on it, yeah, and get themselves into a situation that is not so good. Good intended. So all this attenuate is not true. Then the third stage of sainthood is you severe these two, sensual desire and ill will. Okay? Then when it comes to the fourth stage of sainthood, there are five more fetters. Oh, sorry, this is four and five. Then when it comes to the Arahanta shape, there are five more fetters. Number six is attachment to form and formless jhana. Attachment. So this six and seven. Then number eight is what? Minor conceit. Very good. In Pali, it's called mana. Then number nine, restlessness of mind. That's why at the before the Arahant Anagami stage, you can still have restlessness of mind. These are mind state that the cultivator will go through. Then when it's severed, the being that transformed will understand. This last one is avijja, or ignorant. And this one is the last. When this one is rooted out, no more avijja. Means no more so-called ignorant. No more ignorant means when you die, you will not have rebirth consciousness to take birth again. That's why as an arahant, they always say, you actually able to free from birth and death. No more coming back. Yeah. That's why in the teaching, they also use this. This one, Sakadagami, is a once returner. You heard of it, eh? Anagami is non-returner. What does it mean? Once returner means you come back to the sensual realm only one time. First stage of sainthood, Sotapanashi or Sotapan, maximum 7 more rebirth in the sensual realm. After that, you will become arahant. Understand that? But once you hit Sakadagami, you got only 1 more rebirth back to the sensual realm. After that, you will take birth in the pure abode. The anagami don't come back to the sensual realm. That's why it's called a non-returner. Then arahant, no more rebirth. Okay? Is it clear? Yeah. Okay. So you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Putin, okay?
Hello, Amitabha, brother.
Amitabha. So clear now, today.
Yes, very clear, very clear. Brother, I do have one question, don't know whether this
is... Yeah, you can ask.
Right,
yeah.
Time to ask.
Yeah.
Some of us taking the Bodhisattva vows, right?
Yes.
I mean, taking the Bodhisattva path are therefore. So, do we still go through, I mean, do we still pass through these stages of sainthood?
Oh, definitely. You will go through. But you have to understand one thing, like I share at the retreat. After you have cultivated the Bodhisattva way, means the sainthood way become like very easy. So much more easier. Then that realization, sometimes when you come, you like breeze through. You know what is breeze through?
Yes, I understand.
It's like no need effort one. You just breeze through. Understand? Yeah. Like this life, my nature, I went through it very fast. Then I reached back to my past life cultivation. And very fast I reached that. That's after 1989. Within a matter of 9 months, all these things just happened. And I was back to where I am. Then after that, I continue with my nature's cultivation and all those things. That's why you will still go through. Because what happened is, you bring about a very good condition. You see, like I explained at the retreat, as a bodhisattva, when you come, you also know different from any puttujana. Not to say exactly no different, the puttujana that don't have the good karmic nature and spiritual nature, initially they also gong-gong on, understand, don't know anything. But if you take the bodhisattva way, you are different. Because the moment I am born, my nature already inside, understand? Yes, we don't take rebirth to normal rebirth process born of sakkayaditi, avijja, understand? So our coming is out of the first vow, love and compassion for the living being. So we take that vow. We vow to take a cross out of love and compassion all the living beings to cross over from samsara to realize nibbana. And that vow is very important. Out of love and compassion, no avijjawan. But because it's tied to the nature's law within the existential world, so what happened is our karmic nature, we still have, like the Buddha, he still have the karmic nature. And the only thing is, he got no more ignorant avijja. He cannot come and take rebirth as a normal human being anymore. That's why the Bodhisattva know this way. They take rebirth through pure love and compassion. The citta is pure. That's why when it comes, I remember my parents used to tell me, my grandma also used to tell me, when I was born until 5 years old, I got no thought one. And I seldom thought one, but I very cute one, very cheerful one. Yeah. Very innocent. Then I saw my young day photo. I looked, I knew already. The consciousness inside is different. Yeah. So, your coming, although you are like, before I know the Dhamma, I already told you, a lot of things happened to me, you know. There is like, my nature is like, know that I am not normal, you know. I am not like normal child, normal kid. A lot of things that happen is for me to understand and see. That's why when I grew up, I reflect back, I saw all this. So as a bodhisattva, if you have done it long enough, your cultivation has gone through all the proper understanding and transformation. Then when you come, you have your vows, your understanding, your wisdom, your specially developed karmic nature and your spiritual nature. And my nature realized the spiritual nature you cannot inherit until you connect. That's why I had to wait till 1989 when the time come. But the moment I connect to that nature, very fast, you know, the understanding came. Like I say, bridge through. A lot of things just happened. Then that understanding came back so fast. That's why even as a human being when I was young, like Hui Ning, he hear the Diamond Sutta, the two stanza on it. He awakened. His mind transformed. He awakened. That's why he developed the condition to want to go and meet up with the fifth patriarch. And then at the fifth patriarch there, you know, the sixth patriarch platform sutta, the whole story unfold. For his case, he need the answer for the mundane mind. He said, that mundane mind, you need to make use of it and yet not deceived and deluded by it. He came to great awakening. There is a missing link he has. For me, it's different. The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I knew it. No need to search it. But nobody can summarize all of life in that manner. And it's like, this Four Noble Truths is very familiar to me, you know. Like I have understood it before, you know. That's why I straight away know it's a secret of life, you know. You know the Four Noble Truths, you will understand life and you will know how to live life. But all of the mundane and supramundane understanding is all summarized there. I say, who can do that unless he is the real Sammasambuddha? So you don't have to worry, Pocheng. All this, everyone is different. You will go through. Yeah. Okay?
Yes, thank you, Radio. Because based on my own cultivation, right, I also find my cultivation path is also quite different.
Absolutely. Somehow, everyone is different.
Yeah. So it's like everybody is different, you know,
how we
connect, how we come into the cultivation. All very different. Thank you very much, Radio.
No problem. So anybody has any question you can ask. I think this topic is more relevant and more interesting. Because the real cultivation is not what is commonly taught. The real one is so different. It really penetrates into your nature, and realization is from within the nature. when it realizes itself, it sees clearly. Everything is like the pristine beauty and wonders of Dhamma and nature unfold. Then no more sakayadity, nothing. Everything becomes very clear. That's why in the teaching, the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, when he was cultivating the Prajna Paramita Sutta, he illuminated the five skandha. What did he realize? He realized that they are all empty. Understand? Sunyata. That's why empty doesn't mean don't have anything. Empty of characteristics. Because it's the ultimate Dhamma. The conditioned world has its three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. But when you penetrate through emptiness, everything is not what you think. Because it is empty of meaning. Like our existence, our life. Each and every one of us cannot deny that we were born. Then we go through life until now. I ask you a question. Since birth until now, all those phases of life that you have gone through, is it real? Past is already gone, isn't it? You cannot deny it happened, isn't it? But is it real? Past already gone, understand? Only when mind that can recall, hold on to it, or people who know you, hold on to it. 往事只能回味, understand? Means the past is only memory. You can only recall them through memory. So how real can life be? That's why I say empty nature or existence. Means the existence is actually empty. No reality. You may describe, talk about it. Wow, there is a brother Theo who what and what and what. But it's just history, understand? It's just memory, understand? Like all the great or notorious historian character that we have gone through. The World War I, World War II, and all the civilization that rise and fall. How real can it be? And the other way to understand it is, in the Mahayana teaching, is thought very beautiful. But I developed the understanding and I evolve it and teach to make it even more clearer. But the Mahayana always say, 过去心不可得. You know what is 过去心? The mind of the past is already gone. No more reality. 未来心也不可得. The mind of the future is also not reality. But it hasn't happened yet. Understand? 现在心也不可得. But that one, a lot of people cannot understand. He said the present moment is also not a reality. Do you know why they say that? Because the present moment, although is the highest in life, which is sati or awareness itself, understand not? The present moment awareness. That's a Eckhart Tolle or teach power of now. But this is still within samsara, understand not? So to transcend life, to transcend birth and death, to go beyond life, you need to transcend the present moment. You cannot hold on to the present moment. That's why 现在心也不可得. But for me, it's very easy to explain to people. If you want to understand life, you ask yourself, what is life? To live life is to go through existence, isn't it? To exist means you go through life, true or not? And existence is time related, true or not? You can define the whole spectrum of time under past, present and future. Within the past, present and future, as we have gone through, past already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the present moment is the only reality in life. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? You know what a human being doing? They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Understand? Of course, some of them say they enjoy life. But actually, that type of enjoyment is suffering. Understand? Not knowing that that itself is suffering. By indulging in sensual indulgence and all those things. And intoxicating themselves and finding all the excitement of life. But those are, to me, is weakening the consciousness, create heedlessness, no clarity. You cannot live life. You cannot understand life. You cannot be with the moment in life to really exist. So what happened is, if you look at the present moment, how stable is the present moment? The moment I talk about it, it is dead and gone. True or not? Split second, the present moment is gone. Split second, the present moment is gone. And that is the only reality in life, you know. So how real can life be? If the present moment is so transient, split second arise and pass away, dead and gone, and you cry over it. Understand? No? You become miserable over it. Like the saying that I used to say, when you are born, you're born with nothing. You come empty. When you go, you cannot take along anything. You also go empty. Then why do you grieve in between over emptiness? But the Mahayana Mandarin saying is very good. No? He said, Lai Ye Kong means when you came through birth, empty. Qi Ye Kong. Na mo si zu a, he said. He bi ku ku a, in between. Wei Kong liu lei. Understand? No? Then why do you grieve in between? Over what? Emptiness. And this is the reality. You know? This is life. You know? Contemplate, reflect, and wake up. Don't sleep anymore. Careful. Clear? I think today one very clear. Yeah? Anybody else got any question? Yeah? You can come in. Now is Q&A sharing time.
Brother, I just want to say one more item about this topic. Since you mentioned about the present, you know, about the past, future, and present, I just want to say, I just want to give faith and encouragement. Because of this meditation that Brother Teo taught us, right, the awareness-based meditation,
yes.
Right? From this awareness-based meditation and not the thought-based meditation, that is the, I would say, quickest and fastest way to transcend this present.
To penetrate the nature to realize all the wisdom that you need to realize.
Yes.
Because when it's thought-based, like the Buddha mentioned, this Dhamma that he has realized is akaliko, ehipaseko, opanaiko, pacetang, veditabo, vinohiti. Means the Dhamma is beyond time, beyond thought. How can you use thought as an instrument to meditate and hope to realize a state of enlightenment that is beyond thought? That's why it's impossible. It is sanditiko because it can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. Akaliko means timeless, without time. When your psychological time stops, thinking stops, that is the timeless. That is our true mind, our silent inner awareness nature. You must realize that and use that to meditate. That is sati, awareness. That's why the teaching is very clear. So with all this, people will understand. And thanks for what you add on. Huh? awareness-based meditation. But
Yes.
it's akaliko, the timeless meditation, no thought involved.
Yes, because of this meditation that I learned from Brother Teo, right, from the retreat, right? Therefore, I can penetrate, you know, the nature.
I can
silence my mind. I can go into the pure awareness nature. Otherwise, I think I will take many, many years.
Yeah, you will take people very long. Like I explained at the retreat, you remember not?
Yes.
I said, for them to understand what sati is, can cost them a very, very long period of what they call karmic obstruction that will obstruct them and block them. No? Means if you don't know that this is thought-based, will not lead to the enlightenment, and you can be lost there for very long. No? It's like you actually fallen. No? Or people take you to Holland, many rounds, you don't know how to come back. Because the real cultivation that leads to the awakening is through sati, mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness, not the thought. Then after they realize what sati is, that is just the beginning of cultivation. They need to stabilize the awareness, though. They need to go through the awareness-based meditation to stabilize the inner awareness so that they can be mindful, ever mindful, most of the time. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. That one is even more difficult. That's why it's not something that is so straightforward and easy. But that is what heedfulness is. Under Dhammapada, verse 23, the Buddha explained it very clearly. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, you stick on to these two training, you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. So ever mindful and constantly meditative is what Appamada is, heedfulness is. But he guarantees that you realize the enlightenment in the here now. That's why he, under Dhammapada verse 21, he already say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. That's why all these are very clear. So without heedfulness, you don't go through the awareness-based meditation. You develop through the thought-based meditation, which is mainly theoretical Dhamma, thought-based Dhamma. You cannot awaken because you cannot realize the akaliko Dhamma that the Buddha tried to share and teach with the living being. It's all clearly explained in the Theravada teaching. Oh, 10:30, exactly.
Yeah, thank you, Brother.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your good suggestion, to remind me to share this topic, which is very good. That's why when I saw that question, I realized it's a very good question, and you need a lot of understanding. To really speak on that topic. Then the whiteboard later on, I think, the notes, we will take it and put it on the website. So by the time Sui complete the video, give her a few days, I think this one quite long, then you can listen to it attentively. Today one is very good. You should actually listen to it. Then if you all can develop the clear understanding, it will help you a lot. Okay, so we end. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer merit, then we end. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana etta watta jammehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.